The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're up on the stream, and we are very excited to get to the phone lines and welcome in Ron Jaworski, member for Monday Night Football, Eagles quarterback for many, many years, quarterback expert. Jaws, what up,
man? And a number one dude.
Mitch, Finley, great to be with you guys. What a performance yesterday. What a great football game. I'm sure everyone is very, very happy in the nation's capital.
Yes, they are. Have you ever seen a game where a team has five turnovers and still win the game?
It's funny. I do the post-game show for here in Philadelphia after the game. The first thing I'm looking at is to peruse the stats real quick. The Eagles scored 33 points, took the ball away five times, controlled the ball for 36 minutes and 18 seconds. You got to say, well, they won by 21. They lost the football game. That shows the great resilience that the Washington Commanders have right now.
You couldn't have said a better word than resilience. And I want to get to his overall performance, but what about a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback, and he throws a pick with less than 3 minutes to play in a game where his team's had this crazy comeback, and then they get the ball again. He gets another shot at it and goes down for the game-winning touchdown. What can you say about Jaden Daniels?
Well, you guys may recollect what I said about him in the first meeting between the Eagles and the Commanders earlier this season. I thought he was the best young quarterback I have ever seen. And I know that's a bold statement, and I know maybe some people may say outlandish, but you know, I've studied him coming out of college. I studied the first few games of the Commanders, and I saw something very special in this young man. I said he had a great, great beginning to his career. Now, against the Eagles that first game of the season, he didn't play well because he was injured. He had the rib problem, and it was obvious. When I looked at the tape after that game, there are throws I know he could make, I've seen him make, and just didn't have the zip in the ball because of the injury. So, I knew it wasn't the kind of performance you expect to see out of Jaden, but he come back this week, and he made plays that are just, he made mistakes in the game. And the thing is, he has one of the great attributes that all quarterbacks must have, and that is amnesia. You have to be able to forget. When things aren't going well, you got to forget about them. You can't linger. You can't let them bother you. And he has that great quality of amnesia. Forgets the bad plays and moves on to the next play and makes great plays.
He was simply amazing yesterday. Jaws, not to zero in on one play, because there are a number of good ones, but the throw from Jaden to Terry McLaurin for Washington's first touchdown, when Terry kind of sealed it, he was going to make it, he kind of sold it was going to be a quick out, and then he kept that route going into the end zone. I mean, I'm sure you've watched it and dissected it by now. What did you make of that specific play?
Well, again, that's just being an athlete. Sometimes you ad-lib. It's not perfectly designed well, but not perfectly designed, and you just make a play. I thought the touchdown pass to Crowder was really the great throw of the game, because if you look at that, when he threw the football, and by the way, great design by Cliff Kingsbury. You know, he had a little switch release, which threw the Eagles' defense off and created a little separation in the back of the end zone. So Kingsbury did a great job of design, but the anticipation was just phenomenal. And Bond probably didn't get the depth he needed to get to stop that ball being thrown, but I'm not sure even if he took a perfect drop, he could have stopped that completion from happening. It was a great anticipation throw, a terrific route by Crowder, and they win the ball game. There are a number of plays throughout the game. The fourth down play where he runs for the first down. My God, this is the best defense in the NFL. He was doing these things against. It wasn't some slappy defensive team. You know, the Eagles have arguably the best defense in the NFL on a 10-game winning streak, and they couldn't shut him down with the game on the line. So, that's a special quality that Jaden has.
And like I've looked at him, Jaws, and like I watch a lot of young quarterbacks when they come in the league, and they don't throw to a spot. They throw to a person. That dude seems to throw to a spot. So that's also he has a step ahead of a lot of young guys where they don't seem to have that in their repertoire.
I totally agree with you. The one thing, the anticipation throws are there with Jaden. Like, you know, a lot of guys, when guys are open, it's the NFL. They hit them. Hell, you watch college games, if guys are open, they hit them. You have to throw the football before receivers are open. And I had a simple rule. And, you know, one of my great coaches, Hall of Famer Sid Gilman, I had it for a number of years. He would always say, if the receiver sees the ball in your hand, you're late. If the receiver sees the ball in your hand, it's too late. You must anticipate the throw, get the ball out of your hand. So when that receiver turns, the ball is already in the air. That means you have precise timing and rhythm in the passing game. And we've seen that from Jaden really ad nauseum through so far this season.
He's been so impressive. Talking with our friend Ron Jaworski, you can follow him at Jaws CEO QB. Jaws knows the quarterback position at a really high level. Jaws, when you watch Jaden week after week after week, you could also tell, I think, that he had that little patch where he clearly wasn't healthy. He seems all the way healthy, but unfortunately for Washington, and certainly Philly's defense is a part of this, but Washington now has really been unable to run the ball in three of their last four games. Was there something you saw yesterday that made them ineffective? Was it just the Eagles' defense? And how can the Commanders get the run game going again, especially going into what looks like it's going to be a playoff season?
Yeah, and I think they're going to need to get that running game going. You can't rely on your quarterback just making plays with his arm. And, you know, I'll look at it this way. Look at the Eagles team. You know, when Jalen Hurts went out of that game, it wasn't the same football team because you took away the bootlegs, you took away the quarterback draws, you took away the RPOs, you took away half the Eagles' offense when Jalen Hurts goes out of the game because that's how they've designed their offense. Now, I'll switch that to the Commanders. I think they should do more runs with Jaden Daniels involved in the running game. You know, because you've got to stretch the field not only vertically from end zone to end zone, but sideline to sideline in the running game. Now, you stop the pursuit backside. That's what has helped Saquon Barkley have all these yards. The fact that Jalen Hurts has the ability to keep the football and run with the RPOs, with the bootlegs, with the waggles. So defense must defend the entire field. I think probably the next step would be get Jaden involved more with the running game. You know, and he's had over 600 yards. I mean, it's not like he's not involved in the running game, but more of those designed runs where you keep the defense balanced. I would think that's the next step in his evolution.
See, I kind of felt like the fact that he's involved is going to eventually open it up for more of the running backs. Because I look at the game yesterday, Saquon first half had 109 yards, first quarter. But had like 4 minutes left over. Right. And then the rest of the way he had 41, you're right. When you don't have that quarterback that can put pressure on the edges, you can play that run game a lot better. And they could with Jaden, he can help the run game a little bit more. But I think it was too much concern here about, oh, he might get hurt. Well, he's been protecting himself lately.
Oh, I agree. That's always the number one thing. You don't want to put your quarterbacks in harm's way. And look what happened with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, the league is, and I say in a very positive way, is protecting the quarterback from concussions and all players from concussions. They're very serious. I've had them. Mitch, you've probably had them yourself, and we know how serious they can be and where you are for a while after a concussion. I think the league has done the right thing. But the quarterbacks must learn to protect themselves. Jalen got hurt. He should have slid. He looked like as he was running, I've looked at the play probably 30 times already, he was starting to slide and stayed up to get a couple extra yards. That's stupid. Jalen's not. He's a smart player, but that was stupid trying to get a couple extra yards. You must protect yourself. The league is trying to protect the quarterbacks and players from head injuries and concussions. So you don't want to put your quarterback in harm's way, but sometimes, you know, in the outcome of the game, to determine the outcome of the game, you have to do that with your quarterback. You're going to have to take some risk. But he's also got to be well aware to protect himself when the hit is coming and getting down.
And I think also, like, they had a call yesterday where they picked the flag up where Pickett waited super late to slide. You know, I think the quarterbacks have to understand, if you're going to slide, slide. Don't wait until that guy starts touching you to slide, because that's where you put I think you put everybody in harm's way then.
Yeah, I agree. And there probably would have been the penalty call. It was called. It was picked up because he did not hit Pickett in the head. So that was a good call by New York, or the referees got together in the sideline. I didn't see exactly how it happened, but he did not get hit in the head. So it was absolutely the right call to pick up. It looked like it was coming in for a hard hit, which is football. You're looking to hit people hard and make that thunderous hit. You know, but hey, it didn't hit the helmet. So the referees, I think, did the right thing in that to pick the flag up.
Talking with Ron Jaworski here. You can give him a follow at Jaws CEO QB on X. And, of course, Jaws, a Pro Bowler during his playing days, most of them in Philly. Jaws, for Washington to get that win, it's funny how Brian and I were talking about this. Like, the conversation around the Commanders kind of seems like one of these where the goalposts keep moving, where, oh, they're pretty good. Oh, they can't beat any good teams. Now they beat Philly, but Hurts was out, and you get Pickett in that game. I think the offensive performance to put up 36 and to come back at the end like that kind of outpaces the fact that Hurts wasn't there to do it against a really good Eagles defense. What do you make just of the progression over the course of now 16 weeks and what Washington has built?
Well, statistics bear it out, scoring 22 points in the fourth quarter yesterday to win that football game. The Eagles in their previous 10 games haven't given up 20 points in an entire game. They'd have to get up 20 points in an entire game the last 10. So to put 22 with the game on the line, to win the game, against a really statistically the best defense in the NFL, and I would say probably from an overall talent, best defense in the NFL. They've had guys, defensive line's been awesome. Linebackers have been surprisingly great. Two rookies in the secondary playing phenomenal football. It's a young defense that is coordinated by Vic Fangio doing a great job. But, it's a week-to-week game. You got to show up every single week. And yeah. I thought Cliff Kingsbury did a great job. The one thing that I can see, I'll put my fan hat on, okay. Not an analyst hat, but energy. There seems to be a renewed energy that Dan Quinn has brought to the organization. Cliff Kingsbury, Dan Quinn, these are outstanding coaches. And I'm not directing any animosity at Ron Rivera, who I thought did a good job. There's some good people in the organization prior. But there seems to be a rejuvenated sense of the fans are excited. Yeah, winning certainly does help. You got a good young quarterback, so you got the future bright for a decade with Jaden Daniels. But I think as an overall, you see the energy, despite things going south, turning the ball over, making mistakes, there wasn't like, oh, woe is us. It's not the old Commanders throwing in the towel. It's like, hey, we're going to battle, we're going to fight. And I think a lot of that is Dan Quinn has instilled a great feeling amongst that team in the locker room.
And like you've said Cliff Kingsbury name a few times here, and a lot of people like give Cliff a lot of hell. They don't believe in a lot of things. You talked about his design early. What you've seen from him so far, what would you grade it?
Well, I think you said it best, design and understanding, and a little nuance like, the touchdown pass to Crowder, a switch release, which confused the defense once the ball stepped. Little things like that if you look at, he's been very good at. He didn't have success as a head coach in the NFL, but he's always been an excellent designer of X's and O's, going back to his playing college days, how he executed coaching in college, how he did a great job of designing, and what he's now done in the NFL by designing and getting the players to execute. It seems to be, I don't know their playbook, but when I watch them play, it seems to be a simple offense with nuances that always cause some confusion for the defense. So I think the future looks very bright offensively for the Commanders.
Well, Jaws, what I find interesting, specific to Cliff, and I think they did this defensively too. I mean, Saquon was killing them, and then they're able to make an adjustment, right? Like in the second quarter on, but certainly the second half, they slowed Saquon way down.
What is the kryptonite of the running game? Penetration.
There you go.
I think I was watching ESPN this morning. They were showing a stat. Five times Saquon was tackled for losses. Five times. I don't know if he's had five times all year tackled for losses. The defensive line was getting penetration. Now, again, a lot of those are when Hurts went out, so it was almost just pedal to the metal from the defensive line and linebackers. They were just going to attack because, you didn't have a running quarterback or mobile quarterback, and there made a difference when Pickett was in the game. So that made a difference. But I think the key to it was penetration. They were defeating the Eagles' offensive line, which I think many would argue is the best in the NFL. But yeah. The Commanders' defensive line really showed up yesterday.
For sure. And then in the second half, I noticed Washington was ineffective running the football, and their backs put a couple balls on the ground. They almost went full air raid in the second half. It was four wideouts. There wasn't a lot of run. What did you think of that decision from Kingsbury?
Well, what's the definition of insanity? You do the same thing over and over again.
True. Yeah.
Getting a different result. They couldn't run the football, And Brian Robinson was having a tough time holding on to the football. Maybe next week, next time they play, if they do, it'll be a playoff game. He shouldn't talk about, the Eagles aren't as good as the Commanders are. So sometimes you can't overload your butt with your mouth. So that does happen occasionally in this game, as we know. But clearly, I think they changed the game plan, and they executed the game plan a lot better, you know, once they realized they couldn't run the football.
Have you ever noticed that, like, sometimes you know what a team does? They run the ball, they do different things, then they completely change their game plan, like in the middle of a game, and it throws the defense off.
I think that's what good coaching is, you know, because when you put a game plan together, Brian, you play with a lot of different coaches. Everyone's got different ways of doing it. You put a game plan together. You spend all this time putting a game plan together, and all of a sudden you play a quarter of the game and go, this isn't exactly what we expected. This isn't exactly what we practiced. So the good coaches, the coaches that can, you know, deviate from their original game plan and scout, do the self-scouting during the game, have people up in the press box that are really good at seeing and analyzing what the defense or the offense is doing that you're playing against. When you have coaching staffs that communicate that and you adapt during the game, that shows the teams that have not only the adaptability to win, you know, with the game plan originally designed, but to change during the game, and that's what the good teams do.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it yesterday for sure. Jaws, kind of going forward here, predicting this thing out, obviously Washington's got to – the best way for them to get in is just to win next week against Atlanta, right? There's other ramifications and stuff. How do you see the top of the NFC shaking out? Philly now falls a game behind Detroit and Minnesota, but those two teams are going to play each other. Who do you think gets the one seed, and who do you think is the best team in the NFC?
Yeah, I actually thought, you know, going into yesterday's game, the Eagles were clearly the best team in the NFC.
They
played the best. They're a young team. They're a young team that was getting better every single week. You know, I think kind of there was the groundswell of the Eagles are the team to beat. I still think they are, but the one thing you do not know about is Detroit's health. If you'd asked me this a month ago, I would have clearly said Detroit, but they lost so many players on defense that I thought, wow, they're just going to have a hard time stopping anybody. But they've kind of weathered the storm. They've solidified things. They're getting some players back. So, you know, right now I'd probably give a slight edge to Detroit Lions, the best team in the NFC.
Am I crazy? I think Minnesota ends up getting this one seed. I just think the Vikings having that heads-up game against Detroit at the end of the year – maybe I'm nuts. I don't know. But
one knows right now. That's the beauty of why we're doing these shows.
That's true. Talk
about it. The only thing that bothers me about Minnesota, and I know he's having a great year, but your quarterback has got to play well in big games. And Sam Darnold, to me, I just don't trust him. He hasn't been in enough big games. You know, if you look at his history, he hasn't performed in games in the regular season when they've been important or significant games. So, I know it's a different story. He's got a really, you know,
you're
Kevin O'Connell
does
a great job with that team. He's got his hand in the offense. They got great wide receivers. They can run the football a lot better right now. I know their offensive line is a lot better, but I just don't trust Sam Darnold.
Dude, a lot of people don't.
It's hard to. We have years.
What's the foundation to say, this guy's going to get it done? I haven't seen it, and maybe it'll come to fruition, but I just haven't seen enough to say he's the guy.
We have years and years of visual evidence of him not being the guy. Well, and Jaws, I think it's important to point out, I don't think the Eagles are out of this run for the one seed either, even with that third loss now, because Detroit has – at San Fran, and then they've closed with the Vikings, and the Vikings have the Packers and then the Lions. I think it's very possible at least one of these teams is getting a third loss because they play each other.
I mean, there's a chance, but I think as I saw the analytics, which were all so ingrained, now the Eagles' chance of getting, you know, the bye week and the number one seed are about 5%. So
yeah, that adds up.
I still think I'd like to say, oh yeah, we got a good shot, but that's a long shot at 5%.
Yeah,
I think there's a pretty good chance Washington's coming up to Philly in mid-January for this wild card game. That'd be a pretty, pretty rabid,
a juicy game.
No. We don't want to see Jason. We do not want to see that dude, man.
I get it. Hey, Jaws, thank you
for making time
for us, man. Have a great holiday and Christmas.
You guys are
season.
The best, man. Merry Christmas.
All right, brother. Take care, man.
Thank you.
Ron Jaworski, just an all-time great guy. I love hearing that voice.
Good dude, man.
One of the best analysts out there. We're going from Jaws to you. That's right. Now is the time for you to use your voice.
You.
Tell us what you saw yesterday. It's credit pie time on The Fan. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. All right. It is almost Christmas, baby. Merry Christmas to all who celebrate. Phone lines are packed. It's time for credit pies.
Santa Claus.
I'd like to let Professor Landini start us off. We haven't talked to Landfill yet. Obviously, a wild win. People don't realize this, but Landfill's usually very funny on the text thread during football games.
Oh, he's funny as hell.
We also are
crazy as well as hell too.
One game closer to B-Mitch and a 2-2. Just saying. Landini, what do you got?
I'm giving Jaden Daniels 75%. That was a spectacular performance. Any other quarterback that we've certainly had over the last 20, 30 years, they lose that game. Basically any other quarterback except maybe Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, they lose that game. You got to give Jaden Daniels about 75%. Then somehow Jamison Crowder caught two touchdowns in 2024, so I've got to give him credit too. I'll give him, let's go 15 there. I think that Frankie Louvu interception was huge, so he gets 10 there. And I think that's it. That's 100 right there.
Dude, you said something there. With any other quarterback of the last 30 years, they lose this game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Feels like it. Just everything feels so different with Jaden. And you don't want to overhype it or anything, but it just – he's been so good, so like nothing is surprising or different about that performance, right? It's like, no.
This
is who that dude is.
You didn't know it when he first got here, but now you begin to expect it. Because he's been late in game. Like when Pat Mahomes gets the ball late, you know they're gonna win. Now when Jaden Daniels gets the ball late, you know you have a chance. He may cross that bridge one day where it's going to be, oh, when he gets it, you're in trouble. But right now, you know you have a damn chance.
At all times.
Yeah.
At all times. It was remarkable yesterday. I never felt like they were out of it. A lot of it probably swung on the Louvu INT, honestly, because if that gets to 21-0, maybe you're pressing too much.
Well, if you see the way that game was going and they were not being blown out, you know, like something happened.
Totally.
And I know John Beale probably mad at me today, but I left out of his suite. I said, we're going to win by 3. And he had put some money the other way, and he lost his money. I'm just saying.
I took $20 off Matt Corrado. Appreciate you, buddy. As we like to do, our guy Jupe leads us off. Jupe. What up, Jupe?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, hold on. Y'all smell something? Smell something sizzling. Oh, never mind. That's just the Commanders cooking them Eagles, because these Eagles fans are crying, baby. Y'all know what time it is. Let's do this victory ritual. Let's all hit the Ric Flair.
Woo!
All right. Credit pie. I'm giving 60% to Timothy Daniels. That 4th-and-11 scrambled, dropping them 5 TDs, dropping them dimes. You got to give him a bulk of the credit. I'm going to give 10% to Terry OZ and Jamison Crowder. Excuse me.
Big you all right, dog?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to give
10%.
I'm going to give 10% to the defense. You know, they start off shaky, but they picked it up. And remember, guys, I've been saying it all year. Top 10 defense by the end of the year, and I just checked it. Right now, we're sitting at 11. We got one more spot to go. And then I'm going to give 10% to special teams. Audible mention, Luke McCaffrey. Look like we found somebody to keep it up for us in the kick returns. And, you know, because especially for Eckler, whenever he get him back, it's probably not a good idea to put him back there with those concussions. So, yeah, man, that's – and then I'm going to give my last 10% to the coaches, just for them moving people around, just trying to find what works best for those players and getting the best out of everybody, man. We got to give a big special shout-out to the coaching. But that's all I got for you fellas. Oh, right, and Jeff's head is built like some of those Milk Dud candies. That's all I got for y'all.
Hey, thanks.
Hold on. You're bald, too.
Yeah, Jeff's currently wearing a football helmet that he can't see out of.
With no padding in it.
Thank you, Jim.
And the headphones out on the outside of the damn helmet.
Yo, I'm excited for the day.
All right. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right. First off, I'm going to go 50 to Jaden Daniels. Give him 50%. I'm going to give 10% to the rest of the offense. 60? I'm going to give 30% with a highlight on Frankie Louvu, because Louvu was flying around. And I'm not going to say because of the hit, because that's wild. But My bet, once Jalen went out and Pickett came in, you see how he baited him into that route to get the pick?
That the kid Zach Bond has been playing really good for Philly. He kind of did that to Jaden on the first pick, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Zach Bond's probably going to be an all-pro linebacker, so there's no shame in that game. But that was really good work by Luvu.
So that's 80. Then 10% to the coaches. Y'all did y'all thing. And then my last 10% is going to Devontae Smith. Thank you, sir. You dropping the ball gave us a second chance at life. So we're going to thank you for that.
And drop support of football.
You have my full support there, Jeffrey. Jeff, now can you answer a question for me?
What's up, bro?
Are you wearing the same clothes you wore yesterday?
No. Yesterday I was dressed pretty nice because I was DJing a charity event.
That's right. So you didn't go to the game at all yesterday?
I didn't go. No, the game came with me. Yes, I almost lost my mind when Jaden threw that touchdown. I almost ran to Santa Claus.
Jeff, do you know where I drove by yesterday?
Where did you drive by, JP?
Fairmont Heights High School.
Which one? The new one or the old one?
I assume the new one because it was nice.
All right, yeah. I was about to say, because what are you doing around the old one?
JP, what the hell are you trying to let us know, dog?
Yo, the Beltway was all screwed up, so I had to try to, like, cut through some neighborhoods and stuff. But I was about to, like, the school I drove by and the school Jeff tries to present as, like, this real problematics. That joint yesterday was nice.
JP, that school has just been rebuilt a couple years ago, and the neighborhood you was in, I just don't stay in there too long.
it was daytime. Like, yeah. It was nighttime. Hey, I'm like, all right.
Jay came here with his flannel shirt on, talking about what I look like. Jeff, they are undercover police.
Yo, did I ever tell you this story? So when I lived in Northeast in my 20s, was when people were getting jacked for North Face jackets all the time, uh-huh. Right? And I got a flat tire on North Capitol right at, like, Hawaii Avenue. Mm. And I'm going to play basketball, so I'm just wearing, like, gym shorts, high tops, a T-shirt.
And a North Face?
And a North Face.
They're going to get you a South Face.
And then I'm looking around, like, am I going to get jacked for my damn jacket trying to change a tire? We all survived.
Out of road on the rim.
Let's get to the phone lines. Dre is in Manassas.
What up, Dre?
Dre, what's the credit pie?
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. I got to give 20% to Luke McCaffrey. He gave us great field position throughout the entire game. You know, 50% to Jaden Daniels. I mean, what he did was just, you know, awesome. Like you, JP, I was never in doubt. I mean, you know, I did say, four turnovers, and that might be a bridge too much to climb or too much to cross. But no, we didn't even get to five yet. We were at four. I'm like, you know, that was a bit too much to cross, but then, you know, it's still what he did was amazing. And, you know, 30% to the ref. Now, you know, Brian, this is the perfect question for you. And I say this as a joke, but I'm really serious here. What could one black man say to another black man that's so offensive that a black ref would throw a penalty flag in today's NFL? Because I've never seen that before in my life.
You can't say what you would normally say because now they're throwing flags for it. It's kind of weird to me.
I never thought that way.
I think it was taunting, dude. I don't think it was necessarily racial.
No. It's normally, if you say the same way guys communicate with each other, you say it on the field in front of a referee, you can throw the flag. It's weird.
Gardner
it's
totally Johnson weird. Also has a bad reputation. I think part of that was what had preceded him. But when he left the game, they were able to hit a lot more downfield. He's a pretty good player.
Yeah, we scored 21 points or 20 whatever amount, 20 some points in the fourth quarter. And that guy, that safety, he wasn't in the game. So I mean, I think that's definitely something that can't be underlooked.
Appreciate the call, man. Yo, I was thinking about this, and maybe I'm forgetting something. I've worked plenty of games where guys have gotten ejected, mm-hmm. right? Like ejections happen, but I don't know that at least top of my head, I've ever been at a game where a guy got ejected for taunting. Can you think of that?
You can get ejected for taunting because it's personal foul.
Right, personal foul. I know you can. Don't know that I remember seeing.
Did he taunt and also say something to the ref?
I don't know.
You know, because like I've gotten some taunting calls, and
that shocks me.
I've also like slipped it in with a little bleep you to the ref, and you know, I got another 15-yarder. So it happens sometimes.
Hey, man, it's an emotional game.
They probably warned him on something, and he came back and did the same thing again.
Phone lines are open all the way at least until 1 o'clock. So if you're on hold, don't worry. Stay right there. I like this from Jason Holcomb. He tweeted me and B his credit pie, said 70% to Jaden, 10% to the wideouts, 10% to the coaching, 10% to the defense. Running game was definitely AWOL. Section 105 was hyped, freezing a little, but wasn't cold by the end of the game. Awesome win. I thought the crowd was great.
That might have been the bourbon group right there, boy.
Yo, there were plenty of Eagles fans there, but they never took over. It was never an Eagles crowd. And I think specifically to Philly, but I think a lot of NFL fandom has shifted. There's always going to be away fans, no matter what. And wherever we go on the road to cover Commanders games, there's always Washington fans. So some of this is just a two-way street. I think over time,
it's been way more this year than it's been in other years.
Yeah, the level of Eagles fans will dissipate. I think Sunday night against Atlanta will be rocking. Your calls as we continue. It's B-Mitch and Finley. Shout out to Frosty. Man, it's cold enough. If it snowed, kids would be making whatever snowmen they want. All right, phone lines are packed here on 106.7 The Fan. Everybody wants to talk about the Commanders' big win yesterday. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are going to be open. I might just do it all damn day. I want to have a conversation, Lanville, about the Eagles win versus the Bears win, the Hail Mary versus what happened yesterday and what people preferred. But right now we're doing credit pies. My guy Jay in Columbia have been on hold for a minute. Jay, what up?
What up, B-Mitch and JP? Been a minute. How we doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. Just finished up school. But, man, let me tell you, man, I'm going to go with 33.3% to the offense. Obviously, 33.3 to the special teams and 33.3 to the defense, and that equals 100. That's a team win, baby. I was impressed offensively with how Cliff, basically, and Jaden, they overcame the five turnovers, man. I mean, it's the Eagles' defense, that's tough. I didn't want to give them their props, but that zone tough, bro. They stayed patient. They took shots when they had the opportunities to, and, I mean, obviously, you know, they finished the game when we got the ball back. Special teams-wise, I'm with you, JP. I told my dad, when we played the Saints, I was like, yeah, Luke going to break one. And Luke did great in special teams yesterday. Tyler Owens was getting down there making tackles. Jeremy Reed, everybody, the whole special teams on kickoff team was getting down there. And defensively, I'll say this. I feel like we're a different defense back there whenever Marshawn's out there in the secondary. And the reason I say that is, notice how Bobby Wagner – played through the hands when Saquon caught that pass. And notice Marshawn did the same thing with A.J. Brown. That stuff makes other people play better. And, you know, that's what I was happy to see, you know, everybody's energy being different. We shut Saquon down for three quarters after he had that crazy for first quarter, so credit to Joe Witt. But I still do feel like, in my opinion, Joe Witt needs to blitz more and get out that zone. I feel like when we blitz more, obviously you see that, we wreak havoc. But hell, man, let's go. Let's beat Atlanta on Sunday night, and let's clinch this playoff berth. Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, Jay. Great call, man. Thanks, man. Merry Christmas, dude. Let me see if I can squeeze one more in here before the break. Our guy Ryan is in Connecticut. RC, what up?
How we doing, guys? I know I'm from Giants country, but I did go to college in Pennsylvania. There's no fan base and team that I hate more in sports than the Philadelphia Eagles. My credit pie is to kind of – everyone knows Jaden should get it, but it's also the forgotten guys. I thought besides the fact we couldn't run the ball, the O-line was great. Brandon Coleman was great. One sack for the Philadelphia D-line, which I thought was a pretty good accomplishment. I know we couldn't run the ball partly because of fumbling, but another 20% or 25% to the D-line, I thought the forgotten guys on the line did well. Holmes, Day, Farrell, all of them stepped up to make big plays. We didn't recover some of the fumbles, but just another group that's kind of plotting along, doing what we got to do. Another 20% to the wide receivers, the Zacchaeus, Crowder. Love that Crowder's doing well. I'm so happy for that guy. And then another 20% or 40% combined to Joe Witt and Dan Quinn. 10-5, first time since 91. By the way, 91, last time we won a Super Bowl. Just an unbelievable season, unbelievable time to be a Commander fan. Can't wait for the last 2 weeks in the playoffs here. Let's go.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Yeah, man, this has been fun. And, you know, I was talking with some guys yesterday down on the field. It's not like there haven't been previous playoff runs, right? And we've gotten used to seeing like, oh, you know, if this team loses, then they sneak in this way and all this. This feels incredibly different. To me, even it feels different than Robert's rookie season because you recognize that Robert was doing something that the league hadn't really seen or done in really bringing that read option to life. And this is – it's not like Jaden can't run, but there's far more running quarterbacks in the league now. But it's also – he's winning from the pocket. The best plays yesterday, as good as 4th and 11 is, as good as 4th and 11 is, that 30-yard run, and he had the huge run against the Saints the week before. You know what I mean? Like, as good as those runs are, that's not what defines who he is as a player. It's what he could do from the pocket. It's the game-winning touchdown throw to Crowder. It's the touchdown throw to Terry. And you're seeing those week after week after week. Here's what we're going to do. If you're on hold, stay there. Jeff, there's more callers in there. Keep everybody coming. We're just going to keep the phone lines coming. Don't worry. Everybody's going to get in on the action today. There's just so much to be happy about with this football team. And eventually I want to ask, what is the best win this season? What have you enjoyed the most? I still think the answer might be Cincy Monday night going way back. That's when this team, I think, was playing its best. But, dude, this coaching staff's pressing the right buttons. They made some real adjustments yesterday. I think Joe Witt deserves a lot of credit. I think Cliff Kingsbury deserves a lot of credit. And you put DQ, this like super optimistic, but at the same time, hard-charging disciplinarian-type coach at the top that instills belief, and then you combine that with a quarterback that just never quits. Guts in a quarterback could take you a long way. Phone lines continue when we return.